When you're looking to buy a house, finding the right loan for you can be really difficult. So in this video, I'm going to show you FHA loan requirements for 2024 to decide if this is the right loan for you. And there's three big changes that have happened with FHA loans that can make them better than conventional loans. I'm going to show that to you here in this video. So first, some highlights. FHA allows you to get a low down payment. It's 3.5% down. So you don't have to have tremendous amount of savings. A lot of people think they need 20% or more in down payment savings, and you simply don't. FHA allows you to do a 3.5% down payment. Also, FHA allows lower credit scores, or if you've had some credit issues in the past, FHA is a lot more lenient than something like a conventional loan. And I'll go into the minimums that go all the way down to a 500. However, most lenders have their own minimum of a 580. Now, a lot of people think for some reason that FHA is just for first-time homebuyers, and it's not. FHA is not a first-time homebuyer loan. You don't need to be a first-time homebuyer to do it, but a lot of people who are buying their first home tend to go with FHA, and that's primarily because it has a low down payment, and also it is one of the most flexible loans compared to something like conventional. FHA just is a lot easier to qualify for than a lot of other types of loans because it doesn't have as many requirements when you're getting approved. Also, with a new change that has happened here in the past year, FHA can be cheaper than a lot of conventional loans. It used to be the other way around, where everyone thought FHA is really expensive because of the mortgage insurance. And I'm going to show you how that's not true anymore because of what has changed. And then also, FHA loans have a high debt-to-income ratio limit. And basically what this means, this is the math that loan officers use to figure out what your maximum loan could be. Now, a lot of loans tend to cap that around 45 to 50%. FHA will go all the way up to a 57% debt-to-income ratio with a high credit score. So this really means that it's the most flexible loan and one of the easiest to get approved for if you have a little bit tighter of a budget. Now, when we talk about the down payment here, again, it's a 3.5% down. So here's a quick little chart just showing you some different price brackets along with what their down payment would be. So if you're looking at, let's say, a $300,000 house, you'd be looking at a down payment of $10,500 to be able to buy that home. If you're looking at, let's say, a $500,000 house, you're looking at $17,500, okay? Now, this is for credit scores that are 580 and above, okay? So if you do have a lower credit score than 580, FHA does go down to a 500 credit score. However, it requires 10% down, okay? So anywhere between a 500 to a 579 credit score is 10% as a down payment. If you have a 580 or higher, it's 3.5% down. Now, it's important to remember here that just because FHA does go down to a 500 credit score doesn't mean every lender does. In fact, most lenders have their own minimum credit scores of around 580. Some even go higher, up to maybe 600, 620, 640 as their own minimum. So it's important to keep that in mind that not every lender goes down to a 500 credit score. Now, and just as a quick side note, if you're new to this channel, my name is Kyle Seagraves. I'm a federally licensed loan officer. Our team does loans in all 50 states, and we do all types of loans, FHA, conventional, VA, USDA, and we can help you get approved if you go to winthehouseyoulove.com. You can set up a free consultation call, and we'd be happy to answer your questions about buying a house and getting a mortgage and getting you pre-qualified for a loan. Now, let's talk about some closing costs, because when you're buying a home, you have the down payment, but you also have closing costs as well, okay? Most people only talk about the down payment, and they don't talk about closing costs. Now, closing costs are going to happen no matter what loan that you have. Even if you're buying a home in cash, you're going to have closing costs, okay? Closing costs are different depending on what state you're in, but closing costs are going to be around 2 to 4% of the purchase price. And what makes up closing costs are all different things. So you may have lender fees, okay? Your lender may charge you something like an underwriting fee or a processing fee. You also are going to have an appraisal. You also will have title fees. You also will have recording fees, possibly transfer taxes that go to the county. You're going to pay for property taxes in an escrow account, along with homeowner's insurance in an escrow account as well. And so you have all these different fees that go to different services that help you buy your home. And so it's important to keep those in mind. It's not just your down payment. You also have the closing costs as well. However, what a lot of people aren't aware of is you can get the seller to pay for your closing costs. And you can do that through working with your realtor and saying, hey, I'd like you to help me negotiate for the seller to pay a portion of the purchase price towards your closing costs. So FHA allows you to go all the way up to 6% of the purchase price in credit. So the way this might work is you're looking to buy, let's say, a $300,000 home, okay? So FHA would allow you to ask for $18,000 from the seller to go towards paying down your closing costs. Now, you likely will not run into a situation where you need 6% of the purchase price to pay your closing costs. Most of the time, closing costs are a lot less than that. And so maybe you ask your real estate agent, hey, can we negotiate for 3% of the purchase price in closing cost credit? So you buy the $300,000 home and you ask for the seller to give you $9,000 in closing cost credit back. And then that would be credited towards your closing costs. That way you might only have to pay the down payment out of pocket instead of closing costs as well. So this is a very common strategy that people will use, especially on FHA loans, because they do go up to that 6%. Okay. Now there are loan limits. So these recently have been changed. So the new loan limit in most of the US is $498,257. Okay. Now, if we look at what the maximum price is, remember that's just the loan amount. It's not the purchase price. So to find that, we divide that number by 0.965. Right? It's the opposite of 3.5% down. That gives you a max price of $516,328, okay, if you're doing 3.5% down. Now, in the description, I'll put in a loan limit lookup tool because loan limits are different in different counties. This is the base loan limit that most people are going to run into. However, in higher cost areas, higher cost of living areas, that amount is going to be higher. And it actually goes all the way up to just a little bit above $1.1 million in high cost areas. So it's important that you look that up before you just rule out FHA. A lot of people think FHA, again, is just for first time home buyers. It's for smaller loans. It's for people with credit difficulties. And it really isn't. It really can go up to high loan amounts. And I'm going to show you how it actually can be cost saving for people with higher credit scores. Okay. Now, here's the big kicker. Here's the thing that everyone hates about FHA loans is the mortgage insurance. First of all, you may be asking, what is mortgage insurance? Why do I have to pay it? Mortgage insurance is something that protects the lender. And it protects the lender in the event that you don't pay back your mortgage. Because if you don't pay back your mortgage, eventually over time, the lender is going to want to foreclose on your loan, meaning they take the home back. Now, that process can take up to a year, sometimes longer. It's thousands of dollars in court costs. It's not just something that happens immediately. And so it's really expensive for lenders to foreclose. So mortgage insurance gives the lender a little bit of an insurance in that case so that they don't lose money. Now, unfortunately, the buyer is the one who ends up paying that cost for that insurance, or effectively the cost to the lender gets passed on to the borrower. And in FHA's case, the reason FHA loans exist is because of the mortgage insurance. FHA is not funded by taxpayers. Even though it's a government program, it's funded by the mortgage insurance and it's fully self-sustainable. So the mortgage insurance is what allows FHA to create FHA loans and provide so much flexibility and the lower rates that come with FHA loans. All right. So there's two different types of mortgage insurance that every FHA loan has. There's upfront mortgage insurance, and this is added into the loan amount. And there's also monthly mortgage insurance as well. So the upfront mortgage insurance is 1.75% of the loan amount that's added in there, okay? Now, I'm going to show you how this works in an upcoming slide. And then the monthly mortgage insurance is 0.55% of the loan balance as well. Now, this used to be 0.85%, which would have made FHA loans a lot more expensive than conventional loans. But because of this change, I'm going to show you how FHA is actually cheaper than a lot of conventional loans because of the lower mortgage insurance, and even with the mortgage insurance being on there for the life of the loan, okay? Now, FHA mortgage insurance is required for the entire life of the loan, meaning if you have a 30-year loan, it's gonna be on there for the entire 30 years, unless you put 10% down. If you put 10% down, then it's gonna be on there for 11 years. However, most people with FHA are doing the minimum 3.5% down. Also, keep in mind, what a lot of people don't realize is that FHA mortgage insurance decreases over time as your loan balance decreases, right? This is a percentage. So at the beginning of your loan, your FHA mortgage insurance might be a couple hundred dollars a month, but then near the end of the loan, it's going to slowly decrease down to where you're paying very little near the end of the loan, okay? Now, what makes FHA better than a lot of conventional loans is because even though you're paying this monthly mortgage insurance and you're paying the upfront mortgage insurance, you get a lower rate on FHA loans because they're backed by the government and you have this massive mortgage insurance fund, the self-sustaining fund that FHA has. It provides lower rates because there's lower risk to lenders. And so that lower rate than conventional loans, even with this mortgage insurance, can make it better. And I'm going to prove that to you with a calculator. So I have a loan comparison calculator. The link is in the description. I call it the Loan Clarity Advisor. And so I'm going to show you how this math works. So what I did is I put in a scenario here into this calculator of a $350,000 purchase price. And we're going to do two loans based on average rates. So we're going to do a conventional loan versus an FHA loan. So we have these two types here. The down payment on conventional is 3% as a minimum. For FHA, it's 3.5% as a minimum. We're going to do 30 years each. On conventional, in this scenario that was running on average rates, it'd be a 6.875% interest rate. On FHA, it'd be 6.375. So already you have a big interest rate savings with FHA. But you then ask, well, you also have mortgage insurance. So how does that compare in here? And that's what this calculator does, is it helps you have clarity around the decisions around which loan to choose. So we have conventional loans, mortgage insurance here would be about $170 per month. And then FHA has it calculated at 0.55, which I'll show you what that number is here in a second. So if we scroll down here, we can see that in year one, two, three, conventional loan is better. Meaning that if you sold your home or refinanced it within 3 years, it would have been better for you to go with a conventional loan. However, as soon as you get to year four is where all of a sudden you get that cost savings over time of the lower FHA interest rate. So from years four all the way out to year 30, FHA is a better loan, right? This is completely different than what people have been saying for years because FHA used to have the higher monthly mortgage insurance. And again, this is factoring in even though you have the upfront mortgage insurance and the FHA insurance for the entire life of the loan, this loan is cheaper because the interest rate is lower, right? If we look at the monthly payment here, let's go to year one. The conventional mortgage insurance is $170 and the FHA mortgage insurance is $154. All right, if we look at this over time, at some point, the conventional mortgage insurance drops off here, right? It's this red. It drops off, but FHA stays on for the life of the loan, but it slowly shrinks over time as the loan balance decreases. Even considering that, this is still a cheaper loan when we consider the upfront mortgage insurance, the monthly mortgage insurance, and the interest as well. FHA is still a better option. So if you want to use a loan comparison calculator for your own scenarios and compare which loan is best for you, the link to this is in the description below. You can go to winthehouseyoulove.com/advisor and use the code Kyle, K-Y-L-E, for 20% off. So this lower mortgage insurance is huge in making FHA a lot more, a way better option for a lot of people than conventional loan. Now, when qualifying for this, a lot of people have questions about, well, what does my income and employment need to be? And so you need to have a 2-year history of stable employment. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be at one job for a specific set of time. It doesn't mean one job for 2 years. It just means 2-year history of stable employment, and it could be at different jobs. It's ideal that if you're in a similar field if you're changing jobs. So maybe you're a nurse and you've rotated a couple different hospitals. That's perfectly fine as long as you, again, have a stable employment. If you're switching all different types of jobs with different incomes is where things start to get a little bit tricky, okay? Now, if you are retired or you're currently in school, that can be used as employment history, right? So if you're retired and you get Social Security and pension, or maybe you have a side job, that still counts, okay? If you were in school, let's say you just got out of school, you got a degree in graphic design, and now you're becoming a graphic designer, your school history counts as employment, stable employment, even though it's technically not employment. FHA does have a pretty hard rule around if you have a 6-month gap in employment, then you need to show 6 months on the job before you can qualify for a loan, okay? So for instance, let's say you're up here and you're a graphic designer and you've done that for a year and a half, and then all of a sudden you switch and you move to a new company. In that sense, You're probably going to have to be at that job for a couple months to be able to use that income to show that it's stable. All right. However, let's say you had a full 6 month gap from that, then you're going to need to be on the job for 6 months to be able to qualify for an FHA loan. If you have non-taxable income, it can be grossed up 115%. So let's say you make $2,500 per month in Social Security. We multiply that times 1.15, and that would give you $2,875 per month and what we could use to qualify you for a mortgage. So it gives you a little bit of a boost to make it easier to qualify for a mortgage. There's no minimum or maximum income limits with FHA. So again, there's no minimum requirement that you need to make. You could also make $3 million a year and still use an FHA loan. Now, if you're self-employed, you need to have 2 years of tax returns, and that income is going to be averaged. So we'll take the total income over 2 years, divide it by 24 to find what you can qualify for with an FHA loan. Now, when we talk about affordability, I'm going to show you what the lenders use to determine what kind of mortgage amount you could get. And it's a percentage of your gross monthly income. That's your pre-tax, your before-tax income. And so there's two rules here. One is 47%. That's the maximum your mortgage payment can be of your gross monthly income. And 57% is your total monthly debt. So for instance, let's say you make $5,000 per month. That's before tax. If we multiply that times 0.47, maximum mortgage payment of $2,350 per month. Now, if you also have debts, things like student loans, credit cards, auto loans, child support, things like that, then that's going to have to be included in the total 57% maximum of your monthly debt, including your future mortgage. Now, just because you could doesn't mean you should. Your lender is not your personal financial advisor. And lenders often are going to qualify you for way more than you probably should take on in your budget. Okay, I just use this to illustrate FHA has insane flexibility when it comes to you getting qualified for a mortgage, and you'll likely be able to get qualified for more than you should take on in your budget. I don't think most people should take on a 47% of their gross income in their mortgage payment because that would make everything extremely tight. Again, just using this to show you how flexible FHA is and how much debt they actually allow you to take on in the mortgage calculation. Now, if you want to figure out how to do all this math, I do have what's called the max purchase price calculator. So how it works basically is you come in here and let's say that you make $80,000 per month. And then let's say you have something like a credit card and the minimum payment is $200 per month. Let's also say you have a student loan. And let's say that that's $350 per month. We would then come over here and find what a conservative maximum price would be. But we can also scroll down here and see FHA, which would go up to these 46.55 levels of debt to income, what that maximum purchase price would look like with an FHA loan. So if you want to check out that calculator and use it on your own numbers, it's in the description. You can use the code Kyle, K-Y-L-E, for 20% off. Now, for the property types FHA allows, it's important to remember this is only for primary residences. Okay, so you have to live in the home and intend on living in the home for at least 12 months before you choose to rent it out. Okay, you can sell at any time, but if you're going to rent out the home and use it as an investment property in the future, you need to live in it for at least 12 months before you then rent it out. If you want to rent it out before 12 months, you need to refinance it into a conventional investment property. Okay. But again, you can sell anytime. You can buy today and then sell it a month from now with no problem. Now, FHA will allow you to buy a single family home. It will also allow condos and townhouses. Now, with condos, it does have to be an FHA approved condo. If the condo isn't already approved by FHA, there is what's called an FHA spot approval that we can do for that condo as well. But just keep in mind that sometimes condos can be a little bit tricky and take a little bit longer with FHA loans. Now, FHA does allow what a lot of people call house hacking, and that's where you might buy a 2-4 unit home or 2-4 unit property, and you only have to pay 3.5% down, same minimum down payment, but then you can rent out the other units. And that's a really nice feature where a lot of people will buy a 2-4 unit property, they'll live in one unit, rent out the others, only do 3.5% down, And then after a year, they can move out and rent out the unit that they were living in. And a lot of people call this house hacking. Now, there's also a new change where if you have an additional dwelling unit on your property, you can use that income to help you qualify for the mortgage, and you can use 75% of the projected rental income for that. And an ADU, if you're not familiar, is basically another smaller house that would be on your property as well that you can use to help you qualify for an FHA loan. Now, if you'd like to get an FHA loan, we make the process really easy to schedule a call with us. You can set up a free consultation call with our team. All you have to do is go through here and click Get Pre-Qualified. We'll ask you a couple questions, and then you can book a call with our team. Now, if you're not ready and you just want to ask us a question, you just click I have a question first. You can ask us a question and we'll send you a personalized video reply. Now, FHA, of course, isn't your only option to buy a home. There's also a conventional loan that has a down payment assistance called the OnePlus loan that gives you a 2% grant. So you can check out that video right over here.